No, we want to see Knives Out yet. Have you guys seen Knives Out?
Nope. Yes.
Is it like Clue but like better, like updated, like kind of ish?
I
don't know. I guess
that
murder mystery.
Well.
It feels like a more traditional Agatha Christie, like a Murder on Orient Express. Thing
okay.
For the first like 10 minutes or so, 15 uh-huh, minutes or so, uh-huh. And what
are we? Is he?
Are we?
No, I'm just showing.
No, it's Baba Yaga. Yeah. It's the child. Anyway, so. It does then.
That's what they call it.
It's Ryan Johnson, so it has to. It's the child. That's the
okay.
character's name.
Okay.
It's the child. People
okay.
just call it Baby Yoda, but it's not Baby Yoda. And I know at least one person who was extremely confused about when The Mandalorian takes place because they thought it literally was Baby Yoda.
Okay.
But
well, they don't have a name for the race of whatever Yoda is,
well,
correct?
In my headcanon, they are officially Tonberries now.
Okay.
Look at that fucker. It's a Tonberry. Yeah. Right? Give it a knife and a lantern.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Since they couldn't be asked to come up with an official race, those are Tonberries. Final Fantasy and
Done.
Star Wars are the same universe.
Yep.
But I mean,
anyway,
this is only the third member of the race that is in
yeah.
canon.
Yeah, there's
so.
The child Yoda and Yabba or Yabo, Yabble.
Something like that.
I forget that other one's name.
All right.
We're number one.
All right.
Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Yeah, happy holidays.
First of 8 crazy nights. Festivus coming up tomorrow, I believe, is Festivus.
I don't know.
And then, obviously, Wednesday is Christmas.
Yeah, we're celebrating.
And then Kwanzaa is do research here.
Yeah. I do have several red poles over there that we could all air our grievances around.
At Raylene's work, they have, like, a generic metal pole that you can use for putting up, like, tents and gazebos and stuff
sure.
like that. It's a telescoping mm-hmm. one. But she has a whole stack of these just silver aluminum telescoping 6 to 10 foot poles in her holiday section. And I'm like, beautiful. You literally have a Festivus thing.
Yep.
Anyway, Knives Out seems very traditional, like Agatha Christie style for like the first 10, 15 minutes. And then if you see the trailers, you can see like it's a whole bunch of like James Bond is interviewing all the suspects and everything.
Okay, yep.
And then there's one very obviously main character who the movie kind of focuses on. And around the time of their first interview, the film changes tones a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, wow, this feels much different than it started. But it was still good, just in a new way.
Okay, cool. So.
Welcome to episode 298 of the Crippled System Podcast.
Woo!
Yeah. My name is Andy.
Hi, I'm Chris.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Anyway, yeah, so what were we talking about before Knives Out?
We
holidays. Were
something.
Tonberries.
No, not holidays. Yeah. No, because we were talking about something, and then you're like, shut up, we have to record. Oh, yeah, Ultra Magnus sucks. He's the worst
no.
Transformer. He's lame as shit. All he is palette-swapped Optimus Prime. I don't think he even has a personality. I don't remember him doing anything ever except not get the Allspark. Does he ever matter?
I can't. I have nothing to say. I'm a Decepticon apologist, so I.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being disappointed when I was a kid and realizing that he was just a palette swap, getting the toy, and that he was just a palette swap.
But it was
he
was
Prime.
Not a palette
cool,
swap.
Though.
It was
with
so cool because he was like a white version of Optimus Prime. It was neat.
One, that's racist. Two, I mean, he still just is a blank version of Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, I like Cliffjumper, who's basically just a red version of Bumblebee, but. His personality was different. The toy was the same, but...
Yeah. It's just another Casey Kasem clone.
Yep. Ultra Magnus. I don't remember him ever doing anything. Like, at least Grimlock has, like, the personality, and he takes over and kicks the shit out of the Decepticons that one time.
So did you really watch, like, after the movie, though? Like, the cartoon? Did
when
you
I was
bother?
A baby.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't really remember anything
yeah,
after
I don't
that.
Remember either.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the whole thing. So, of course, you wouldn't remember Ultra Magnus, because I don't know, was he in the original series before the
no.
movie? No. So
he shows up in the movie just to get chumped on by the Allspark, and
yep.
then that's the end of Ultra Magnus?
No, he gets torn apart by the Decepticons on Planet Junkion.
Like, that's it?
He gets
so what
actually,
else,
supposedly,
Andy?
Supposedly the stills, what do they use? Animatics for the scene that was supposed to happen was supposed to be a lot more gruesome than what it was.
Sure.
Of him being blown apart by the Decepticons. Yeah. No. Fuck you.
Sorry.
Robert Stack is... No, don't even touch him.
Was that Robert Stack?
Yeah.
It was Robert Stack was
yeah.
his voice.
Okay,
yeah.
That's cool.
It was a big thing because it was like, and Robert Stack as Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, they had a whole
Leonard Nimoy as Galvatron.
Yeah,
you know, that
Orson Welles is fucking
Unicron. Yeah.
His last film.
Yeah.
Which is just him. It's like, I'm a planet.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that eats other planets.
It's better than Raul Julia as his last role. In
no, wrong. Wrong. Totally fucking wrong.
It was a Tuesday.
Right. He is glorious in that movie because he knew what he was about.
He had a buffet of scenery to chew for that thing. It was like a so fucking glorious. Oh my God. Yeah. Street Fighter, that's an amazing film. Just because of Raul Julia. And the guy who played Zangief.
Sure. But mostly Raul Julia. Because he took that role. He's like, this movie's utter shit, but kids are stupid, so they might like it. And so he cranked it to 11. He committed. He yeah. committed
yeah.
to it.
Yeah. Committed.
Quick, turn the channel.
Yeah. Beautiful.
All right, so we were talking about Dave drugging his kids so he could go see Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing.
That
yeah.
was.
And cats. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, cats. Cats review for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, you should mention what's happened. So those of you who don't know, Cats had started about a week ago? Or is it this weekend?
This Thursday.
It oh, so yeah. they shared
like
opening.
3 days. It showed opening day with Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Good lord.
And they had apparently they embargoed reviews because I didn't see a review until like a couple of days ago.
Oh, it was yeah. embargoed until Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, embargoed reviews. If you're not a big movie person, a film that has embargoed reviews is the way to identify something that is shit.
It should
and
be.
The theater knows that it is shit.
It's a big red flag.
I wish I could think of a movie. I know that's not always the fact where if you don't see... reviews before the movie is out that means that it's shit. I could have sworn I've seen a couple that have just held it just in act the movie's actually been good.
If the studio actively prevents it.
Real quick something for chat. There are not going to be Rise of Skywalker spoilers as long as David is here at the table because he hasn't seen it yet. We're going to have a spoiler-free episode, then he's going to fuck off and then it's going to be all spoilers after that.
So
anyway, continue with what you're saying. I just wanted to let the audience know.
So now, if the studio actively embargoes it, I mean, you can have a film that is not great, but it doesn't have enough buzz that nobody actually reviews it. But if the studio actually has a big release and embargoes reviews, that is almost exclusively because they know it is shit and they just want to make sure that they still get a decent opening weekend and don't want everyone on Earth shitting on the movie before the opening weekend.
Yes, it is my fault.
Yeah, usually if they have faith in the film, they want the word of mouth. If they don't have faith in a film, they don't want the word of mouth.
Yeah.
It is occasional that an embargo lifts and everything comes up hunky-dory, but that's not extremely common.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes the embargo is more for spoiler reasons than quality reasons. Like, I don't think that Disney thought Rise of Skywalker would get a sub-60% critical review. I think they were more worried of some random reviews just casually dropping spoilers.
Yeah.
Which reviews fucking do all the time.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was spoiled about much of what happened, and I saw it Friday night, but like late Friday night because I waited a day to get my tickets.
I saw it Thursday at 6:45.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
Whatever was in the trailer.
I saw the first teaser trailer for it, and I saw it at 7:30 on Sunday morning, or Saturday, or Friday morning. Jesus Christ. I'll pick a day.
But yeah, I'm going to see it this week. Yeah. Probably also going to see Cats this week.
Speaking of Cats,
yes.
here's a lovely review. There's a lot of great reviews, but this one is beautiful just because of the somebody putting it into Watchmen. When I was 13, my parents started breeding cats. Bermans, seal point Bermans to be precise. I would wake and be surrounded by cats and all that the cat life entailed. Kitten cats, male cats, female cats, cat cages, cat shows, cat breeding. Always the breeding. The eternal life cycle of the cat burned into my retinas. The yowling, the prowling, the fucking. When I was 25, I hung out with some furries in Hamilton. Charming folk. I really liked them. Loved Disney films. Adored My Little Pony. They got turned on by putting on dog suits, fox suits, cat suits. Adults. All yowling. Prowling. Fucking. I'm 37 now. I've just seen Cats the movie. I've never seen the stage show, but I know the songs. I get the gist. Big songs, big numbers. This film is something else. I'm 13 again. I'm 25 again. I'm at my parents' house hearing cats fuck. I'm watching a furry put on a cat suit. I'm watching Idris Elba nude as a cat. His ass is sticking out. I am watching all the cats' legs constantly spread, gyrating, grinding, growling, yowling, prowling, fucking. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. This is what death feels like. This is the worst ketamine trip. This is awful. This is not a film. This is chaos. This is the CGI from Scorpion King. I don't know if I'm 5 minutes in or 5 hours. Nothing matters anymore. This is the death of all things. fuck it. That's somebody's entire review of Cats, the movie. And it's pretty accurate from what I've heard.
And that's what you get to look forward to, Dave.
Yeah.
That's how you get a day two patch on a cinematic film release.
Yeah. I mean, my wife wants to see it because her mother read T.S. Eliot's Book of Practical Cats, which is literally a 100-year-old book of poems about cats, which is the source material for the musical, which is the source material for the abomination.
The musical is an abomination.
Okay.
You got two theater nerds sitting next to you, and I think we'll both agree you don't have to 6 degrees of separation away. No. It already was an abomination.
Yeah. So
the first trailer, they should have Sonic the Hedgehog that trailer.
You can't fix Cats the musical if you're going to do a faithful adaptation. The stage play is horrendous. It is absolute trash. And so you either have to just scrap it and change the story, by change the story I mean add a story because it doesn't have one, or you just can't.
But yeah, I don't know why my wife wants to go and see 110 minutes of her childhood being fucked. But
cats being fucked with their creepy little hands and their monster faces.
Yeah, so I also have to read an excerpt from the New York Times review, which is, it's amazing. Oh, wow.
We're taking it up here a notch on Crippled System.
Yes.
New York Times review here.
Review. It's amazing to see what Adult Swim can accomplish with a $100 million budget. I never knew Tom Hooper was capable of making a surrealist nightmare that would rival Jodorowsky, that could baffle David Lynch, that would prompt even the dark god Cthulhu to emit an impressed eldritch shriek of, nah.
Buy tickets to anything else. And then after you finish watching the anything else, then just mosey over to Cats because, one, there's no such thing as ironic dollars. Every dollar that goes to that movie is a real dollar.
Yes.
And two, you don't have to worry about there being no seats available. Like all the reviews post-embargo I've read, people are like, I was one of three people in my city showing. Like no one's seeing this. It's not getting the ironic views.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this takes some talent to get the New York Times film review to compare your movie to Lovecraftian horror.
All the choices around it make no goddamn sense. Like, from choice one, let's make Cats the musical into a movie. Like, that choice already makes no goddamn sense. But then, like, let's give them creepy human hands and human faces. Like, I understand that the stage play, they have hands and faces, but that's because it's a stage play. Like, when you do Lion King the movie, you don't just have humans wearing an elephant headdress on top of their head. Like, that only works on theater, because in theater there's an agreement with the audience that what they see isn't what they're supposed to see, and your brain translates it.
And it's a budget.
It's not even.
And sometimes it's cool to see that sort of thing too.
Give a theatrical performance infinite dollars, they're still going to have things that aren't indicative of what they are, right? And where your imagination has to translate them. You know, there's very minimalist stage performances where they'll just use like there's a great show version of the Mikado that the Savoy Theater did back in the 80s that you can get on DVD now. But the set is just like nothing but wooden platforms that they'll like stack. And they're like, now this is a tree. And your brain's like, I get that that's a tree because someone's sitting in a tree in this. And this guy's just sitting on a platform. I know it's a tree. And you couldn't. That's not how film works. Right. Like unless you're doing Dogville. Well,
Lars von Trier.
Yeah, Lars von Trier, who did Dogville? Dogtooth. I always mix up those two. It's Dogville.
It's Dogville.
Dogtooth is the creepy family that keep their children and train them all wrong. But yeah, Dogville. I mean, Dogville, it works, but that because it commits all the way to that.
Yeah.
You can't do a halfway thing. You can't have CGI bodies and then just human fingers that reach for your eyes at night.
Okay.
Wow, now I'm going to have nightmares just trying to imagine that. Awesome.
You haven't been imagining those cats reaching for your eyes at night ever since the trailer?
I've seen the trailer like once, and I just have not.
I don't watch a lot of
original
TV
Sonic the Hedgehog didn't breathe in your face.
No.
You close your eyes, and you could just feel his hot breath because he wanted to lick you while you were asleep.
Just lick your shoulder.
Thanks.
Just lick your shoulder. No other part, just the shoulder.
He just wants to taste you.
Yeah.
It wasn't the licking, it was the teeth.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The teeth were just wrong.
And the everything was wrong on that fucking thing. The teeth, the eyes, the hands.
I mean, you know you're doing something wrong when you put out a trailer and the studio feels obligated to apologize for it.
Well, I think what I heard about that too is the folks that actually worked hard and crunched to make the movie workable all got laid off.
Well, that studio got shut down, yeah. And I think it's a coincidence that that was their last project, but it sure was, timing.
Yeah, no, it's because
they'd worked on other stuff recently. I could think they were involved with the live action, heavy air quotes, Lion King, and some other stuff.
I think they also didn't they actually do stuff from Pikachu?
Oh yeah,
Detective Pikachu.
Oh sure,
Pikachu one.
Yeah, that actually had some of the best CGI I've seen.
Yeah, yeah, actually, I enjoyed Detective Pikachu. I mean,
it's really probably more so the company that approved their designs, approved whatever artist designs were, and they were we're just going to run with that.
I mean, it's the same. The problem with Sonic
their
is the same thing.
Sonic
with,
is great.
Yeah, the same thing with Cats is just that you have to look at this and wonder. It's like, why did the abort button not get pushed way before now?
Yeah.
And I'm surprised they got as many like stars to be a part of this too. I mean, I guess money is a thing, but still, you would think like Idris Elba. Does he really need to do this movie?
No.
I mean, no.
James Corbin doesn't need to do
that. Exactly. I mean, yeah.
I mean, maybe every one of them was pulling a Raul Julia, where they're just like, you know, this.
Hopefully, I die after
terrible.
This movie. Is
Hopefully, I die. Yeah.
After this.
the cat suicide pact.
Yeah.
Well,
Jesus. Just as another aside, yes, Detective Pokemon Detective Pikachu was a surprisingly good
movie. I'm a Bulbasaur as a Detective Pokemon.
I just took my kids because they wanted to see it, and I was really surprised that it was actually a decent movie.
Yeah. Well, it seems like most modern, you know, like cartoonish films, well, especially with Pixar doing them, are usually watchable by an adult because it has better themes and it actually works as a movie and still entertains kids. I haven't watched the Frozen 2 yet, though, so I have no idea.
Here's the thing. So I saw Star Wars twice.
The Star War?
I saw the Star Wars twice. So I saw it, you know, Friday night. And then I asked my daughter, it's my daughter's birthday on the 21st, and I'm like, what do you want to go see? And I thought, Frozen 2, because we have not seen Frozen 2. I'm like,
Playmobil
sweet,
movie.
I can... Really, that... That
is that still even in theaters?
Wait, what? Playmobil? As in like the little toys?
The little toys?
Yeah, that movie came out like a week ago.
Oh, what? I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's because they realized that they had really missed the boat to be the next Lego movie. And I believe that it went to 6 different production companies in its lifespan. And then it was finally kicked out to theaters with like literally zero commercials or trailers ever made.
Oh
yeah!
How do you know about this? That's what I want to know. I'm like,
you haven't been eagerly awaiting the Playmobil movie?
No,
the cast is actually shockingly good.
Okay,
like, you want to talk about a big cast and a shit movie?
Mm-hmm. That's it. All right,
and I want to talk about never hitting the abort button. Like with how long it takes.
Okay,
to make...
it's a score on Rotten Tomatoes is actually lower than Cats.
Yeah, yeah. it has the third lowest opening of any film that opened in 2,000 or more theaters. Also the third lowest people per viewing per theater average. Yeah.
Well, there's a strong correlation between the two.
There is a strong correlation, but not always it is once you're looking at the same number of theaters, right? So if you have a similar number of theaters, it matches. But when you get those small art house films that open in like 50 theaters and they only make $100,000, that was still, you know, whatever. I think like Delgo and Oogie Loves are the only two with worse.
No, release date August 30th.
Sorry, do you not have all these things memorized, Chris?
I don't.
Box
I'm
office
lost.
$13.4 million, budget $40 million. Yep.
Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, that budget should be a little bit more to at least have some kind of advertising.
Yeah, they did not. Because like the 6th production company that got their hands on it was just like, fuck it, throw it out there. It was supposed to come out in January, and it got delayed all the way.
Delayed and sold to other companies.
Yeah, well, because the companies kept going bankrupt.
Oh, wow.
then it kept being picked off of their rotting corpses by the next company, who then also died like it was some cursed talisman.
That should be our next pain train. We should watch that.
Oh, yeah. This is fantastic because I've never heard of it. And it's like I go through the Google page and the first on the top stories is a Cartoon Brew article that the headline is Playmobil the Movie Continues on Path to Becoming Legendary Box Office Disaster.
Yep. Yeah.
I want to watch the documentary about that movie now.
Playmobil grossed a meager $143,000 in its second weekend from 2,337 theaters.
Yeah. So just what are those numbers again? So 2,000 and some theaters and how many dollars?
$143,000.
Yeah. So that's like $75 a theater?
Yeah.
So that's like 10 total. No, because I'm thinking like, yeah. So that's like 5 total tickets being purchased?
Yeah.
Per theater? For the whole week,
let's say we want they all watch it on matinee. So
it's actually 25 because you don't even have to do matinee. The last production company that had it, they actually did a gamble. All tickets for the Playmobil movie were $5, regardless of what showing you went to. The company mandated that the theaters only charge $5 for Playmobil, but that makes no goddamn sense because right now. It's not like the days gone by where you go to the theater and you'd be like, oh, what should we see? Oh, well, that's interesting. Playmobil is only $5. Let's see that one. Mm-hmm. You go online already knowing what movie you're going to fucking see. And then after you pay, you figure out what you paid.
I mean, I think that also means that it's like the average number of tickets per showing is about one.
What?
No, because it was $75 per theater. So at
$5, but how many times do they put? I mean, how many times does each theater? Does each theater
per showing? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it was 25 tickets per theater per week.
Yeah, so it's going to be like one or two average tickets sold per showing.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, at least Speed Racer did better than that.
Yes. Oh, thank you for mentioning Speed Racer. That reminds me of what one of my recommendations was going to be.
Speed Racer?
Nope.
Another Wachowski film?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
The fact that they're going to be putting out fucking John Wick 4 and the new Matrix on the same fucking day.
The only thing wrong with that is they're not putting Bill and Ted 3 out that same day also. Because so that was amazing. Yeah. In the theater, everything playing was just Keanu Reeves.
Actually, oh my God. And then pull out stuff from the back burner too. You know, you pull out, the Point Break.
Yeah, sure.
Everything. Yeah. All Keanu Reeves.
Well, you've got to, I mean, you've got to, of course, do the when you have like the series is that you have to have a marathon of all of the previous movies first. And so if you did all those three at once, then you can do all of the prior movies and just in a random order.
Keanu hasn't been in a lot of sequelized films, though.
Except for the three we brought up.
Yeah. I mean, most of his movies have been.
So you either show all 11 of those films.
Speed? Oh, he wasn't in Speed 2.
No, he wasn't
in
Speed 2. Not in Speed 2.
Yeah, he was SmartNet. Sandra Bullock was in it though, right?
Ocean.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock was in it though. And it was who was the co-star in that one? I don't remember.
Nobody does. Wasn't the bad guy fucking Green Goblin?
Yeah, it was Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
But
well, no, that was in because it was Dennis Hopper in the first one.
Yes.
Second one was Willem Dafoe, and I think it was
That was Dennis Hopper's third finest performance behind his spoken word song on Gorilla's album Demon Days and those commercials for Foot Locker where he was a referee.
I don't remember.
Foot Locker, Adidas.
So what's the other ones then?
What?
I'm seeing if you're missing one.
No, I mean it's a distant fourth is him in True Romance.
That's not a distant fourth.
And that's to say nothing about True Romance. That's how great those commercials for shoes were.
I would say, though, so you have everybody talking about Heat and the great performance.
Keanu Reeves is not in Heat.
He's not in Heat at all. But everyone claims about, you know, like with Dennis, with Robert De Niro and
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino's terrible in that movie.
And they're just talking like, you know, like, oh, we got these two greats together in a film finally. And it's Heat. And all they do is have some coffee together. Yeah. And it's one of the lamest fucking scenes ever. And you compare that to a movie that came out right around... It's one of the lamest scenes.
Bad mouth in the coffee scene.
I am bad mouth in the coffee scene because you compare that to right around the same time of both Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper in True Romance, and that is a glorious sequence.
You can get killed walking your doggy. Come on,
no,
that's up there with You Are an Eggplant.
No, it bored me. It really did. For
it is a boring scene. It's just two dudes talking.
Yeah, for you know having that.
But it's a nice like
gusto in the same
room.
Nice
calm moment in between all the firefights, and, that you have in the street. And
the two of them talking to each other is so important because that's the scene where they both get to monologue at each other. They compare what they have similar, how mm-hmm. they've chosen different paths despite their similarities. You know, though we are different, we are two sides of the same coin, you know, and and then ultimately understanding that despite that, they still have to reject each other's ways of life. And, you know, it's important.
It is.
I like that scene more than their final showdown by the airport.
Airport, yep. Agreed.
And then years later, there was some really shitty movie whose title I can't remember that was entirely advertised on the two of them being together in it for the first time ever. And I'm like, but Heat existed. Like, you can't just pretend Heat didn't exist. Are you hoping I don't remember because that's the only selling point your shitty movie has?
And wasn't
and the
it
answer was yes.
Wasn't it a really terrible movie, too? Like, even Pacino and De Niro, when they were promoting The Irishman, were talking about, yeah, that last movie you did was shit, and we knew it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Okay, I have to bring up a technicality here.
Okay.
The Oogie Loves in The Big Balloon Adventure and Delgo both grossed less on their opening weekend than the Playmobil movie on 2,000 screens.
Right.
But adjusted for inflation, they made more.
You know, you're right. Neither I was not those, adjusting for inflation.
Neither of those movies.
Because Nate has that calculator in his head.
Oogie Loves makes no goddamn sense. Like, why did they release that movie?
What is it?
The Oogie Loves and the Big Balloon Adventure. What? It's one of those like kids movies where it's got live action monstrosities, like think Barney kind of thing, where it's just a dude in a suit dancing around doing songs. But the Oogie Loves are these terrible insect looking abominations, and the movie is based on a TV show called My Bed Bug or My Bed Bug Friends or something. The Oogie Loves are bed bugs. It ran for two seasons. 8 years before Big Balloon Adventure came out? Like, who decides to make something based on a super obscure children's TV show almost a decade later and change the title of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't make much sense.
It does have Christopher Lloyd in it, though, because he'll be in anything.
Well, because they don't really tell him what he's going to be in.
He
they
does
just,
not care.
They just roll him up to the scene.
He was in Food like, Fight.
Well, yeah. He's hoping that he's going to Raul Julia every movie he makes now.
Yeah, but Raul Julia didn't do like 50 of them a month, right? He picked just Street Fighter and went for it and then died. And what's like, maybe Christopher Lloyd is like in that movie, was it Short Time, where the guy thinks he's going to die and so he's trying to go out in the line of duty because then his family will get a big insurance policy. Remember that film? Starring that one guy that nobody cares about?
Nope.
Dabney Coleman?
Dabney Coleman. Yeah.
I know Short Time. Coleman.
Oh, Short Time's actually a fun movie that nobody gives a shit about. He's a cop and he gets a mix up at the doctor, and the doctors tell him he's got like a week to live. He decides he needs to die in the line of duty so that his family will get like a $10 million insurance payout.
Sure.
So he starts doing crazy, reckless hero cop shit.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, he's not actually going to die. And of course, he like finds that out in the middle of like a big dangerous thing. So you get the funny like, moment.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
Huh?
Okay. I recommend Short Time. Little bonus recommendation a third of the way through the episode.
How the fuck can I not remember like most things, but I remember Dabney fucking Coleman.
All right.
What the hell?
Just even remembering Dabney Coleman at all.
Yeah.
Like, that's a guy who just vanished.
Is he alive still?
Who knows? I don't know if he was alive then. I think it was a fever dream we all had as a group.
It's like, if Sinbad is Shazam?
Yeah. Although Sinbad has now been in a movie where he played a genie, so that fucks up with that. It was like a Halloween Town spinoff or something. I'm deep in the trivia today.
Yeah, you really, I mean, it's really amazing. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but.
He's still living.
See, told you he didn't have a week to live.
So what has he done most recently, Andy?
That's the scary part. Most of his movies.
Career's not
I mean, it's
most
all.
Most of his movies are all. They're Short Time. There it is. Just a picture of him hanging from a helicopter, I think. Oh, nope, from a scaffolding.
Yeah. Oh, the Algarve's behind him, yeah.
That was in 1990.
Chat says you look like Brad Pitt, Chris.
I know. That's pretty awesome. My wife will be very happy to hear that.
It's like when I was a kid, somebody told me that I looked like that guy from What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh, so sure.
I've officially been compared to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, right.
I mean, true. It was in the film where he's like the super brain damaged guy, but I'll take it.
I've been compared to Gimli.
Sure, I can see that.
Someone told me I looked like Leonardo DiCaprio. Don't ask for further details.
Yep. Nope, that's it. Full stop.
I have been unironically compared.
I get that country music singer all the time.
And not a specific one. They're just like, you look like a country music singer.
Chris Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton, yeah.
Is what I would say.
Is that I get that
probably the one country music person here.
Yeah, and also there's apparently a guy on American Idol or whatever, one of the song shows was recently, who was from Wisconsin and apparently looked something like me, because literally I was at a Wendy's and somebody's like, oh, I loved you on American Idol. I'm like, what?
That's amazing. Said,
thanks.
Yeah, you
want an autograph? $50.
Holy shit.
Remind me what my name is. Who should I make it out to and from?
Yeah. Debbie Coleman's actually been employed recently. he played a character on Boardwalk Empire for a long time. Looked like 24 episodes. Then he's been on to Ray Donovan, Yellowstone, which I hear is decent, NCIS, and For the People. So he's been on a lot of TV recently, but hey, at least he's working.
He's in Cloak and Dagger.
His movies, though,
I remember Cloak and Dagger back in the day.
Oh, he was in Domino? Mm-hmm. How come I remember Domino being a bad movie? Was it a bad movie? I can't remember Domino.
I don't remember Domino.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
It's
a good Van Morrison song. I also like that
it's got
Google
Keira Knightley
like,
in it, Mickey Rourke, Delroy Lindo.
Okay.
You don't know Delroy Lindo?
I don't know what the fuck Domino is.
It's a movie.
So you say.
We established that, yes.
Yep.
Man with One Red Shoe, Debbie Coleman was in that. Remember that?
I mean, there's like, he's got like 170 some movies on there.
That is not Tom Hanks's most popular film.
Oh, I bought The Burbs, by the way, just in case we need to watch it later on.
Yeah, Burbs was a good movie.
Legit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. The poster for the film Hot to Trot is an absolute fever dream nightmare.
Oh, yes. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Bobcat? Yeah. And Debbie Coleman's in
it. Yep. Well,
and that.
And then Don the Horse also gets billing on the...
It's like so this is where BoJack Horseman comes from.
When I talk, you're going to laugh yourself hoarse. Hot to Trot, the funniest talking horse movie ever. Way to fucking limit. That's your selling point. The funniest talking horse movie ever.
Yeah.
So the main reason why I remember Dabney Coleman is he was in one of my favorite movies as a kid was Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
Cloak and Dagger was amazing. Like, I love that.
Funniest talking horse movie ever.
Hot to Trot.
My brother was working on a script for a cup stacking film that was going to be called The Greatest Film Ever, and then in tiny print it was going to say specifically about cup stacking. That's a true story.
I'm not surprised.
Fair.
All right.
Announcements.
Announcements. Do we have... Oh, wow. Did we just... Yeah, that was just the intro.
Was there an event yesterday?
Yes,
there was. An event over in Milwaukee yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know who won.
Yep. It happened.
Yeah.
There's an event for War Machine and Hordes, 18th of January, up in Pegasus Games. We are going to be having a God tier release event.
God tier.
God tier. God tier release event.
Go tier. Go tier. Go tier.
Andy doesn't sound happy.
Andy can't get his dinosaur to roar. You can do it. Come up. There he goes.
Roar.
Yeah. God tier is apparently Madison's next game because you got it. Jeremy got it. Brian got it. Mi hermano just did a thing about it on his Facebook. It was one of his six games of Christmas. James.
Oh, James, yeah.
I might have to try it if people are actually playing. Although we've actually got War Machine on like three nights a week now, it's bizarre.
I might just stop playing minis games entirely and stick to board games. Because that's just easier. Yeah. But I'll do board games with minis.
Yeah.
Like I got my frickin' Mansions of Madness. Mm-hmm. I got my Monolith Conan game that I got to play a couple times.
That's what we talked about with Jeremy on the podcast. He's basically done with miniature games, but he'll play something like God tier because it's, God-tier. You know.
God tier. Yeah.
I don't know why there's an echo in here. It doesn't make any sense. That changes the pronunciation as it goes.
Distortion.
Yeah. But, I think it's a nice venture to be able to just pull out just the board game and just play it. I mean, like with God Tier, almost even like Guild Ball being a miniature game though, but it's such a small. So it's small squad. That's it.
Yeah. You don't even need that many and matches. Unlike Guild Ball, it's grid based, so it's more like a Blood Bowl thing. This goes to that correct, whole conversation correct, yeah. in the last episode.
But I mean,
also Rebel Wilson unzips her skin and pulls off her skin, and she has another set of skin, but also clothing underneath that skin.
For this is Knives Out.
This is Cats.
Oh, okay.
She's a naked cat, but then there's a zipper, and she rips her own flesh off, and underneath it, she has more flesh and an outfit.
Was it involved wow. with a joke about shedding or shedding your skin?
So this is actual Lovecraftian.
Army of singing cockroaches with human faces.
Nice.
So this is Lovecraftian.
And the mice have child faces.
Nice. This sounds amazing. Because
that's not in the stage play. Who they're writing and they're like, you know what needs to happen? Rebel Wilson needs to rip her flesh off like a goddamn. Oh. David Lynch transformation nightmare and have more skin with clothing underneath it.
You went over
put fucking clothes on.
You went over it really. You brushed over it really quickly. You didn't actually go into details
the
on
cockroaches
here.
Cockroaches with the human faces.
No, about the day one patch for for Cats.
Yeah, the graphics are so bad. They're sending new graphics to the theaters because like people are pointing out that like the cats like faces would shift around because they weren't like spliced on consistently. So their faces would like the borders would shift and move like a Rorschach inkblot test in your nightmare mind.
This literally keeps sounding more and more Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
So it to me it really sounds like the editors, the people that were involved to cut out those parts or to send things back and say, hey, this needs to be redone, that they hated the film more than probably the audience.
What
does.
It sounds like to me is that you don't set a release date for a film with $95 million worth of CGI. That's being done up till the day before. Like, there's no way this movie was done. Like, they just had to panic and ship it.
I mean, that's basically what happened with the Scorpion King with its infamously bad CGI, is that they fired the first team, brought the second team in, and said, here, you have 6 weeks and $7 to do this. And, well, things happen.
I've seen a YouTube video where there's some special effects guys who actually went in, redid the CGI for that sequence and just made it look so much better.
Well, sure. I mean, I could make it look better.
No. Yeah, with the tools nowadays too. Yeah. I mean, it's yeah. But no, we should. What are you doing next Saturday?
Not watching Cats.
You want to go watch Cats? We want to get good and drunk and then go watch Cats. All Who right. wants to be our chauffeur?
I'll watch Cats drunk.
My wife is saying we're watching it tomorrow. So
speaking, I got something for you.
Uh-oh.
But I can give it to you on the podcast.
Ooh.
Later on. I'll go upstairs and get some.
Yeah. I'm watching Star Wars again tomorrow.
I'm hoping to watch Star Wars tomorrow. Because it's my free
tickets. And then this coming Friday are the tickets I accidentally bought.
Yeah, you bought tickets three times or something, didn't you?
Yeah, because like when tickets first went live, I tried to buy opening night on the Ultra screen Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And they were sold out. So I'm like, I can go one day and avoid spoilers for one day. So I bought Friday Ultra Screen tickets.
Okay.
And so I go to buy the tickets, and the best seats right in the middle, just behind the handicap row, so G13, G11 and G12,
sure.
They're available. In fact, pretty much the whole theater is available. So I snatch those things up. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm the first person to give up and move to Friday. So I grab those tickets. I check out. I get my confirmation, and they're like, thanks for buying your tickets for Friday, you know, December 27th. I'm like, wait, no, that's not what I wanted.
That's not what I wanted at all. Yeah.
So then I went back and bought non-Ultra Screen Thursday, and then I won tickets for tomorrow.
It's a good thing it turned out to be, you know, watchable.
Yeah, or entertainingly unwatchable.
Yes.
To reveal the stance that we have.
I mean, exactly.
I am not refunding my Ultra Screen tickets. So, like, I definitely would go to the second showing regardless of how much I hated or loved the film because it's free.
Sure.
But, yeah, I'll go.
Well, you already paid the other one. And technically, you paid for it. You paid for it like a month ago. So, like Kickstarter, when you spend the $300 now, it sucks now, but in like a year and a half when the Kickstarter actually shows up, it's like free.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I just spent like $400 on two different Kickstarter games in the last week.
Yeah,
I don't get those games until next October. So I spend $400 on literally nothing.
Yeah.
And the next October, I get a bunch of shit for free.
What was one of the ones that you got?
I did indeed go ahead and I did the all-in backing of Necromolds.
Oh, you did?
I bought the make your dudes out of clay and smush them with your plastic rings miniatures game.
All right.
Somebody had to do it. Fuck all y'all. And then I also went all-in on the Divinity Original Sin cooperative board game.
Oh, that sounds like fun, though. Yeah. I
really wanted somebody in Madison to spend $220 on that.
And you couldn't convince really Brian or Jeremy. I mean, either one of... I mean, Jeremy's played that game, the PC game, multiple times.
To be fair...
I love the PC game.
Yeah, it's amazing. I knew what I was doing when I sent a message to Brian and Jeremy saying, somebody please talk me out of backing the Divinity Original Sin board game, and then they all immediately convinced me to do it.
Sure.
But yeah. This way, they bullied me. I didn't do it myself.
That's
what you take to Raylene.
And... Raylene, don't listen to this episode. Raylene, if you're listening, don't be. Yep. I was kidding up until now. I didn't do any of that. Ha ha, good fun.
That would require humans to listen to this.
That's like when Brian walked up to me. He had Resident Evil 2 in his hand, and he had Clock Tower 2 in his hand. Yeah. Yeah. Resident Evil 2 and Clock Tower 2. And he's like, which one should I get? And I'm like, you should just get both of them. I'm like, yeah.
One of those games is unironically great.
Both of them are great.
Clock Tower 2. Yeah. Clock Tower 2 was still good. It was like 3 when it really started to shit the bed.
Yeah. That was the one where he was just, well, again, it's Scissors Man just hunting you down. Of course, unfortunately, that's all PlayStation 1 graphics.
Yeah. But that was always Clock Tower's shtick. It was one of the first games that had the unkillable, perpetually chasing you antagonists.
Hated it.
I mean, it was scary as fuck.
I hated it so much.
Like, it's like a 10-year-old playing, like, the first one, or 13, 14, whatever PlayStation 1 came out. But Clock Tower 1, I rented it from Blockbuster. I played for, like, an hour, and then I returned it because I was too scared.
Yeah, it's... I mean, there'll be one time you're like, okay, I can hide in this bathroom stall. This will be just fine. Okay. Oh, yep. He just walked by. All right. Great. All right. Then I will leave out. And I'm like, oh, I could hide in this bathroom stall again. Nope. That scissors comes right through the fucking door. Have you ever played Clock Tower,
no,
Chris?
No, I've not.
So the antagonist is a guy with a gigantic pair of scissors, like
Flea has in Big Lebowski. Correct. In the dude's nightmare.
Yeah.
It's literally those scissors.
Yeah. They cut off your Johnson, Lebowski.
But yeah, if you think like the Amnesia games and Machine for Pain and stuff like that, it's basically a 2D side-scrolly version of those games where you have the unstoppable antagonists where you have no weapons whatsoever and you have to do inventory puzzle solving and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and his music would start off really silent or really soft off stage, and then it would get louder as he got near.
He was like tiny. He was like a little dwarfy
guy. He was honestly, I would think of Gru from Despicable Me.
He's like the little bouncy dudes from Castlevania, but with giant scissors.
I don't think he was that small as a flea man. No, I think it was more like Gru, or maybe like Danny DeVito as the penguin chasing you down with a pair of scissors.
I'll go with Danny DeVito.
That's still horrifying, but yeah, got it.
He's a national treasure.
He was a tiny little guy.
Did anybody go see the Jumanjis? I still haven't seen Bumblebee or the Jumanjis yet.
Well, you saw the previous Jumanji, right? The
Robin Williams one.
No,
that's the last Jumanji I've seen.
Oh, Chris, come on, bro.
I haven't seen it.
Fuck all y'all.
I wanted to because I'm so like good. The Rock is in it, so you should
it's
see it.
It's so goddamn good, and it's way smarter than it has any right to be.
Is it as smart as the Will Ferrell film? The had the Land of the Lost, I think it was.
It's way smarter than that.
Never trust a man in a tunic.
From a storytelling standpoint,
okay,
fair. Like here's an example of how smart this movie is. I'm gonna give you a little thing, and you know. Whatever. So it's going to spoil
Star Wars
one little
spoilers.
Thing. But no, Jumanji spoilers.
Jumanji spoilers.
So when they die, so they've got like 3 lives because they're in a video game, right? Mm-hmm. And when they die, they respawn. And the respawn, they just like drop in from the sky.
Okay.
And so there's a point in the film where they need to get somewhere high. So one of them literally kills themselves so that they'll respawn
up there.
Higher up so that they can fall up there. That is smart. Mm-hmm. That is setting up a rule in your universe. Mm-hmm. They repeatedly remind us of that rule, and then they use it in an innovative and clever way during a climactic scene. That is fucking brilliant filmmaking.
Or storytelling.
I'm just wondering when you picked up Southern American English.
Respawn?
No, because you've been telling you've been saying fuck all y'all repeatedly.
I mean, fuck all y'all.
Okay.
I have always supported y'all as a plural because American English does not have a second person plural, so y'all needs to be it.
Well, standard and anyone American who
rejects,
English
yeah,
does.
Anyone yeah, no, who rejects that's y'all legit.
Is wrong.
Does
also,
your
Y apostrophe A L L because the apostrophe is replacing the missing letters of
no,
O and U.
No, it's Y A apostrophe L L,
which is short for Yah will. Yah is not a word. It's you all, Y apostrophe A-L-L, and fuck them for having two different versions of that goddamn shirt.
Anyway, I could circle it back to Famous Dave's
fucking
is the
famous
best.
Dave's.
They can't even spell y'all correctly.
Oh, consistently.
Have you not heard his feet?
I have been in a Famous Dave's once because I come from a place where they actually have barbecue, real barbecue.
The Famous Hold Dave's on Park Street. Y'all's all over the place spelled wrong. Y-A-P-E-S-H-V-A-L-L. But there's one goddamn sign, and I can show you where it is. Like, if you walk in there, I'll point at it, that has it spelled right. Because, of course, they have it right one fucking time just to mock me with the knowledge that they do know how it's spelled. And these assholes kidnap me.
Hold on. I want to do this. Five, four, three, two, one.
Anyway, Brian and Andy literally kidnapped me one day because I was in the backseat of their car. They drove around for like 45 minutes. I think the child safety locks were on. I couldn't get out of that car. I was non-jokingly furious at them by the end of that car trip. Man. So they're like, fine, we'll go get dinner. And they take me to that fucking Famous Dave's where they have the y'all spelled wrong. All of the front door when you walk in says, y'all come get some. 2-foot-tall letters, Y-A apostrophe L-L, right on the side of that goddamn building. So we go in, and I sit down, and I'm having a nervous breakdown already over this whole thing, and they're laughing and taking pictures of me weeping on a bench. And a waitress walks by wearing a goddamn shirt, and says, like, Famous Dave's on the front and on the back, you know, because they all have different shirts with clever little whatever the fucks. And hers says, helping pigs reach their potential. T-H-E-R-E. Their potential.
Yes, of course.
So I see that shirt and I start shitting myself. It breaks me. I'm like, it almost breaks me. Because what did break me is when a different waitress walked by and the back of her fucking shirt said, helping pigs reach their potential, T-H-E-I-R. They had two different versions of the goddamn shirt. One of them spelled right.
Right, yep. And one of them wrong. That's brilliant.
That's almost as good as having two different versions of the shirt with both of them spelled wrong.
I was going to say, they could have done the other two theirs.
I mean, at least their food is as good as Sugar Fire, so it was worth the trip.
Oh, no.
But yeah, you're not doing...
You're right, it's better than Sugar Fire.
It's barbecue, and barbecue's good. I like it anyway.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, the apostrophe has to be in the right place because also you get other things, you get words in Southern like Yaldiv, which is the word that has three apostrophes in it.
The what?
Yaldiv?
Yaldiv.
What the fuck is Yaldiv?
Yaldiv liked this movie if you'd come.
Yeah.
You all would have. Yaldiv.
Yeah.
Yep. Jesus. Yaldiv. Yeah. All right, now I get it.
Wow.
Three apostrophes. It's a perfectly cromulent word.
Yep.
Cromulent?
Cromulent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's also a more famous printing of y'all, and this is a hilarious story because it's become a landmark in northern Kentucky. And there's the town of Florence, which is right outside of Cincinnati. The water tower says Florence y'all on it, and the reason it says Florence y'all is because they had originally built it, and the Florence Mall, which is a big outlet mall near there, had paid them to put Florence Mall on it. And somebody pointed out that it was against the law to have a commercial message on a water tower because it was some category of a public building qualified for it. You weren't allowed to have a commercial message on it. And so they had to change it from the commercial message. And some genius realized that it would be faster and cheaper to paint over just part of the mall. And the only thing they could think of to replace mall with was y'all, because it's you just have to literally modify the M and add the apostrophe.
All right. So now that you've got us up to date with the backstory, you said there was a hilarious story?
Yes.
Okay. What was that one? Wow.
You're so mean. Wow. Why? Like, Dave's trying to contribute to this conversation.
And then you just, you just shit all over him.
Literally dropped trowel and just shit all over it and said, eat it.
I was waiting. As soon as you said there's a hilarious story, I'm like, oh, I know what I'm doing at the end of this story. I don't care how good it is.
Yeah. Wow.
It was a fine story.
Yeah.
Just.
He's just sitting there biding his time, just waiting.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Sorry.
That's a good story.
So part of
it was.
And shits.
That and the other major landmark in Northern Kentucky, which is Big Butter Jesus or Touchdown Jesus.
Sure. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a statue of Jesus. Looked like he was rising up from the earth, but his arms were up in the
field goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be that's a field goal.
It's a touchdown.
That is a touchdown too. Yeah.
I think it's a score. Safety has a different score.
Safety is any offense score.
Yeah.
Everything else is.
I've always wanted, you know, the Jesus that's over on Verona Road coming in on the side there. Jesus over there. I've always wanted to put a bandolier on him and put a couple M16s in his hands up there.
Break his knees and put him down. He'd look like Platoon.
Yeah.
But yeah, that statue was also covered with something that made it look like it had the consistency of whipped butter.
Mm.
And then it got struck by lightning and burned down.
Oh, so it's just like the Fonz over in Milwaukee.
Or the I like the my favorite statue is the demon horse they have outside the Denver airport for no reason. It's just like this 20-foot tall stallion with glowing red eyes, and it has actually killed people.
Yeah.
And no one knows why they put that horse there. It's ugly and terrifying and has blood on it.
Is that better or worse than the infamous Nathan Bedford Forrest statue?
Sure.
Don't know. You have to explain it.
He can explain Nathan Bedford Forrest.
So
he's the Southerner.
Yeah, so Nathan Bedford Forrest was a Confederate general in the Civil War and more famously known for founding the Klan.
Great
guy all around.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so at some point, fairly recently, somebody in Tennessee wanted a statue of the guy that founded the Klan.
Just like him. Like, whoever they hired to make this statue is extremely talented.
Yeah.
So they got the best sculptor they could find
or that was willing to sculpt Nathan Bedford
Forrest. Listen, somebody's 2-year-old was available.
And that's what...
It looks like John Lithgow's character from Shrek.
Yeah, it's exactly what it looks like. Yeah, huge head, small body.
Wow.
Yes, this has to be the worst
on his butter horse.
Yes, that exists.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean the horse statue is actually a decent statue. It's just terrifying.
Yeah. No, I'm.
It's a blue Mustang that they call Blucifer.
Yeah,
and it glows and speaks to you at night, and it's killed people. It killed the guy who made it.
It doesn't speak to you at night.
It speaks to me at night.
It comes alive.
No,
and hunts people down.
No, it's not like a gargoyle. Zappity.
Yeah, grumble.
We did have some zappity grumble questions. Did we want to talk any more? Do you have anything else to talk about? Like how awesome Dabney Coleman is?
He's pretty awesome.
He is fucking awesome.
I think we've already extolled the virtues.
I've never read or played or in any other way consumed any media regarding Drizzt, whatever that fucking elf that everybody
Drizzt Do'Urden. Sure. Yeah.
Nothing. All I know is he's one of those Underdark dudes, and he's got a couple swords, and I don't give a shit.
Scimitars.
Sure.
They're scimitars. And he's got a Black Panther figurine.
You're talking to somebody
who... D&D version of Lobo. He is just some 13-year-old wanting to make the most edgy, try-hard protagonist Gary Stu ever, and I don't give a fuck about either of them.
Okay.
I just remember it was in Baldur's Gate. Was it one or two that he showed up in?
No, he's in the Forgotten Realms. I mean,
I think it's Baldur's Gate 1. I believe he shows up. I murdered him.
Yeah, because that was the. He's like, he comes on screen and I'm like, save my game. And it's like, okay, I'm going to kill this motherfucker.
Yeah.
And it took me like 2 hours of figuring out how to do it.
I don't know. I just assume he's the Legolas of the Forgotten Realms. It's kind of.
Legolas is way cooler.
He's the emo Legolas of the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. So why did this get brought up? Somebody zappity grumbled.
I was looking at a random text message I got, and it was about Trist.
But my God, I had like a bag of the bag of tricks and a wand.
Bag of Trist?
Bag of tricks. Well, that's how I killed him. Is that I kept summoning monsters around him, and eventually having all of these little like level one things that he had to. He could only kill two per turn because.
Go for the eyes, yeah. Boo.
Yeah, I eventually killed him.
Go for the eyes, Boo. Is he a giant miniature space hamster or a miniature giant space hamster? I forget which one.
I can't remember which Boo was. It's been so long. And they had a guy.
They're like re-releasing those like on the Switch, right?
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that's...
Actually, speaking of which, we're getting a Switch for Christmas.
Are you making sure that you're getting a Switch?
Yes,
yeah,
we're getting
not, a Switch Lite.
Don't get a Switch
Okay,
Lite.
I'm getting a Switch. Good. Yeah, I was good. There when we got it. Yeah, and I said, no, we're getting a Switch.
But not a Switch Lite.
Hopefully Chris's kids aren't listening to the podcast.
Yeah, I was
if they are, they're going to be... It's probably bad. I don't think they'd be listening to this. I mean, it's fair.
I mean, I almost got a Switch Lite for the second one, and I was double-checking everything. It's like, wait a second, it doesn't support video out?
There's just no reason. Yeah, it's portable only. It's just a strictly inferior. Does it cost less?
It's like
$100 less.
Yeah.
I mean, the bad part about it is, let's say if you get unlucky and you get one of those ones that have the wonky controller that breaks, and you have to send in the whole thing.
Yep.
You can't just send in just the joy pads.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I had to send in a Joy-Con already on Raylene's Diablo 3 Switch. So
had that. I've been lucky with mine. So
we've had two Joy-Cons fail in the same way.
I probably should send in the Joy-Con. Her left Joy-Con, one of the left, not the trigger, the back one, but like the left bumper just stopped doing anything. Mm. I've got kind of I'll let go of the joystick and things will still just go up as if
it's a drift.
Very drifty. I just haven't bothered sending mine in.
Yeah, I mean that is
good to know.
Yeah.
I've been perfectly fine with mine. I have not had any issues. I mean it
mine
happens.
Was a very early one. Like by now, I think they've figured all that out. Early Joy-Cons also, your fingers would block the transmission to the screen. If you were playing it docked and had the Joy-Cons out, it just defeated the entire purpose.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
The new Switch Lites are having the same issue as with the Joy-Con drift. Because they use the exact same parts on the new one, just it's all.
Yeah. Also, I mean, we've got the wireless Pro controller, which is a fantastic controller, and use that mostly. On one of them at least.
Highly recommend that, and like I said, it's not really. I haven't run into that issue. So
I will say that is one of the only. This is the only thing I get actual physical copies of games for us, because we've got two Switches. We've got two Switches and two kids that play them, and my wife plays them as well. And having the physical games means we can actually swap them between Switches without going through a pain in the ass of copying the license.
I'm old, so I like the physical copies of everything as well. So
I've decided to go back to physical copies of stuff because even though it's less convenient to buy, it means that if I hate the game or when I'm done with it, I can like sell it to somebody.
Or even
just loan it to a friend. You know, like... Mm-hmm. I kind of bounced off of Fire Emblem Three Houses. Like, I got a bit into it, but I didn't, like, you know, super invest my time. And I have a lot of friends that I would love to just loan or give or sell my copy to because I think they'd enjoy it. But I can't because I got it digital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you go with things like Stadia and stuff like that.
Stadia.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're buying a game that's fully digital and housed on their platform. And if you don't...
Let me put it this way. I used to be in a network research group where one of the things we did was have pre-routing networks to optimize speed for things including gaming, and we're calculating the distance for things, for the time for things in microseconds and nanoseconds to figure out how fast the stuff was going, and knowing what is state of the art and knowing what Stadia is trying to do. 90% of the people that get Stadia are going to find out that their network connection is not nearly as good as they think they are, and are going to realize that the reason Netflix looks so good is because they can buffer ahead of time.
Well, and also, like, so imagine Netflix, all right? And let's forget about the whole networking issue. Let's just pretend that's not a thing and everybody has perfect fiber, instant Wi-Fi, whatever. But imagine if Netflix was a thing where you paid your $10 a month for Netflix, and then if you wanted to watch a movie, you had to pay them full retail price for the movie in addition to your rental, to your subscription.
Yeah.
No, like, what's the fucking point of that? Shit, I still have to give Stadia $60 for the game, even though I'm...
You still have to buy the games?
Yes. Yeah. You still have to pay full price for the games.
You get some games that are included with it, but they're not... I mean, like, the only game they included with it... Yeah, Destiny 2. But that's a free-to-play game anyway.
Yes. But you want one of the Tomb Raider games on Stadia? Well, in addition to your subscription, you have to give them $30.
Also, all the games available on Stadia are all games that have been out like for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing new on Stadia except for like one random game.
Yeah, because Xbox is real close. Like, I think they've said it's like within the next year, they're going to have that program, but with infinite free games. Like, they're taking their Game Pass library, and it's going to be on the go. I forget what they're calling it. It's Xbox.
Yeah, Xbox maybe Live. But, I mean, Sony has that, too, with PS Now, technically.
No.
But, I mean...
Full mobile, like, on your phone. Everything Stadia is. It's going to be everything Stadia is with that same library that they currently have for their Xbox Game Pass.
Fair enough.
Like, it's literally the thing that Stadia is claiming to be, but better. Like, why would I waste my money? It's fuck
so
off.
You guys got played a lot of Borderlands 3.
Mm-hmm. I did not.
You did not. But anyway, you played some Borderlands 3. So Borderlands 3 was just added to Stadia recently, but it's only up to patches up to October. So,
and you have to pay the full $60.
So you have to pay the full $60 for an old fee. For an old game that's not even up to date.
Yeah,
and not saying that Borderlands 3 is really that old, but I mean it's. But it's not up to date. It's not at current with all the others. Can you imagine trying to play that game multiplayer with other people on the same online connection? Having that streaming to you and then also interacting with somebody else? That's got to be horrendous.
Project X Cloud is what the Xbox thing is.
All the new Xbox names are the worst.
Yeah.
Did you hear what their new system is called, Nathan?
Xbox Series X.
No.
Scarlet?
No. Xbox.
That was the code name for it, I think.
It's just Xbox?
It's just Xbox.
So there's the Xbox, then Xbox 360, then Xbox One, then Xbox One X, and now Xbox. So it's kind of like the Predator and Predator.
Correct.
Where you drop the
Predators.
Drop the article.
One of the two models is Xbox Series X.
No, that's what they called it in the. That's what whatever the preview stream was. But the actual name itself is going to be Xbox.
And there's going to be two of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is going to be... don't they know their own fucking market? Basically, the people who buy video game systems and that are old enough to know. But you have grandma that buys game system for kid. That's... I need an Xbox. What one? It was bad enough with the Nintendo systems, or at least the handheld systems with the 2DS, 3DS, 3DS XL, 2DS XL.
The 3DS and 2DS shit was annoying.
Yeah. But I mean, they're going to be doing that same thing with...
I thought the 2DS was just a DS. Like it took me, like somebody had to explain to me, like I was a goddamn boomer, that the 2DS was a 3DS, but without being 3D.
Yep.
It's just different. Yeah. I'm like, the DS was a DS that was in 2D. And they're like, no, this is a 3DS, but not 3D. I'm like, but that's what a DS
but
was.
But also as bonus that the 3DS was the first one, and then the next console that came out after it was
the
2D.
2DS.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's just bad.
I mean,
if they're smart, they should just call it the Xbox 6.
Is it the sixth one?
No, but who cares? The Xbox 6, and they have to deal with the PlayStation 5. Done.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think they should just call it the X20 because it's coming out in 2020. And then just when you have a new version of it, like call it the X25.
It's going to be.
But even if it comes out in 23. Call it the 25.
Yeah, it's going to be dated
the
immediately,
year,
though. It's like, I don't want the X20. We could just call it X-Men Origins. Yeah, so we'll get to those.
Zappity.
Oh, like that movie with Dabney Coleman.
Yes. If they just had him playing,
I want him to play every character. I want a one-man show of X-Men Origins Wolverine where Dabney Coleman plays literally every character, including the love interest.
Including Gambit?
Everyone? Character.
He said both every character. Gambits.
Okay. The Gambit that we meet first who gets knocked out, and then the other Gambit who comes down from on top of a building a block and a half away 10 seconds later, therefore can't possibly be the same fucking Gambit, because there's no way the editing in your movie is that bad, X-Men Origins Wolverine. It's not like Nathan spent 15 minutes thinking that a new character had been introduced, because there's no way your editing can be that bad. Guess what? Their editing's that bad.
Can they use the cat CGI to do Beast?
Yes. But it's got to be reversed. Put a cat face on the Dabney Coleman's body.
With the Dabney Coleman mustache, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But you need to find a cat that has markings that look like Dabney Coleman's mustache.
That's pretty easy. You can find a nice tuxedo cat with a mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Zappity.
It's like, fuck, Hermione's cat makeup looks better in Harry Potter than the cat's movies does.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But it's Emma Watson, so, I mean, they had a better.
That's true.
Yeah.
How old was she in that movie?
I don't think you can admit what you did.
I saw a meme like a couple of days ago that was like, Billie Eilish is 18 now. You know what that means. She can operate a forklift with proper licensing.
And they had a pretty badass looking forklift in that picture.
It made me think of the old German safety video about state forklift driving. It was like a goddamn
that was
Sam Raimi film.
Yeah, that was like early
Staple Operator Klaus. That was viral video before YouTube or any of those things.
Yeah.
When you had to like download the video from like Napster to watch it. Like, how did shit go viral back then?
Yeah, I will say though,
we
so
albino black to do with sheep. Our time.
Remember albino black
God,
sheep?
Yeah.
I remember, unfortunately, trying to find
E-Bombs World.
Some of my favorite old TV shows on MTV were like Monty Python's, and then also a great British show that only lasted a couple seasons, which was The Young Ones. Mm-hmm. Very entertaining show. Very, do not go into a movie search and look for just Young Ones.
British Young Ones.
British Young Ones. I might have made it onto some lists at that moment.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'm on lots of lists. I mean, that's because I realized that for doing keto cooking, I used a lot of erythritol. And so I bought 10 pounds of it at once. And then shortly after ordering 10 pounds of it from a farm in Indiana, I on a random other Wikipedia deep dive, realized that erythritol is a precursor to an explosive.
Sure, sure. And then you also bought some manure and some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if you nitrate erythritol, it gets extremely explosive.
Hmm. And you're using that in your cooking?
Yeah.
No. What are you?
Your Michael Myers doesn't have a knife, so it looks like he's just like, "Hey, kids, get off my lawn!"
Well, that's
what are
he
you
would,
doing, kids?
He would just walk out like this. He wouldn't say anything because Michael Myers
Carn
doesn't
Sarnie
speak.
Kids.
Also, when did you get Beta Ray Bill?
Huh? He's been there.
Oh.
I've added a whole bunch of things.
Andy didn't even notice the Beta Ray Bill cameo in Thor Ragnarok. I had to point it out to him.
I noticed it.
No. I remember the podcast episode where I mentioned it, and you were like, "What? I missed that." True story.
Also, I guess there was a Bill reference in Endgame as well, because they were talking about some of the things that some creatures that they had to fight were from Bill's world. Cool story. Yeah. So we're starting with Zappity Grumbles now. What movie would be made worst by the lead role being replaced with Keanu Reeves?
It's not to my liking, but some people might disagree. But because it's not my particular preference, I'm going to go with Deep Throat.
Mine's kind of somewhat related. But no, so you're talking.
Some people would love a version of Deep Throat where it's Keanu Reeves who can only orgasm from giving blowjobs. But
sure.
Not my, he's not my style.
It would made worse. Mine would be The American President. The Michael who replaced Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas with Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
I don't know why I suddenly went to that part there, but yeah.
Zappity.
You have no answer?
No, I have no answer.
Just pick a movie.
I can't think of anything. I think Keanu Reeves would be amazing in anything. I
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I had to go for porn to find anything that he wouldn't be better, and that's just because he's not my type. Like, for a lot of people, there's zero
movies. That would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can think of another one, though. In replacing him as the voice of Catbug.
That would be made. What movie does Catbug star in?
He's not in. I guess he did say a movie. All right, never mind. Zappity.
Grumble.
If you were all Santa's reindeer, what would your names be?
Nathan.
Dave.
I mean, is this
I
like,
guess I'm
is
Chris.
This like a Roots thing? Like, does Santa like?
I'm gonna be Charger.
Okay,
because I don't think there is a Charger in there.
There is not a Charger.
All right, I'd be Charger.
Yeah,
yeah.
Someone else can be the Challenger, and someone else can be, you know.
I'll just take Donner.
Can I be the Viper?
Not like as the name. Viper? You're just gonna take Viper in a fight.
Cobra.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should all be named after, you know, muscle cars.
I'm gonna be Viper.
Yeah,
that's me.
Protected by Viper. Stand back. Remember that shit?
Zappity.
Grumble.
Did you have one, Dave, or no?
Yeah, I'm Donner.
He's Donner.
Yeah. He's in the Donner Party.
Yeah.
Okay, if you wake up...
No, chat, we have not talked about Star Wars yet. We will after this, and then after Dave leaves.
Mm. Yep. You wake up to find Santa stuck headfirst in your washing machine. What do you do?
In a washing machine?
In your washing machine. What do you do?
I mean, who is it?
It's Santa. He's stuck headfirst in your washing.
Oh, it's Santa. I heard someone. I didn't hear
Santa. Nope. Santa stuck headfirst in your washing machine.
Why the fuck is Santa in my washing machine?
What do you do?
Doing?
Well, maybe you live in a trailer, and that was the only way he could get into your house.
But why is he headfirst then?
I don't know. He decided to go in backwards? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
none of this adds up.
I would say I'm calling the cops. I don't think this is Santa.
This is some asshole in a Santa costume that's trying to steal my laundry.
And somehow I think there's meth involved here.
Probably.
So 911 is the answer.
Especially because we're in a trailer.
Okay. I eventually let him die in the chimney and so I could have a sad story to tell in Gremlins.
But he's not in your chimney.
Eventually get into the chimney.
So what you're doing is you're taking him out of the washing machine, and he's like woozy from half drowning, and then you're shoving him up the chimney to die.
Yeah.
And you're using the suds from your laundry soap to lube him up to get him all the way up into that chimney.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, fair.
I figure if he's drunk enough,
no,
probably...
No, that's a good answer. I'm taking that one, too.
Tonight on Crippled System, where we're lubing up Santa.
Yeah. No, I
want a really good present, Dave, so yeah. Yeah,
I would just also replace him with Keanu Reeves. So,
yeah. Fair.
Steal his reindeer. Keep him alive, because otherwise you end up having to take over as him, according to that documentary I saw.
The Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
First one was not too bad, though. It was actually kind of enjoyable-ish. Zappity.
Grumble.
So why do they find it so hard to do good X-Men movies? 4 out of 10 in 19 years.
Oh, man. Is it even four
there
of them?
10 X-Men movies? There's some.
Let's see if we can name them.
There's 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
There's Origins Wolverine, and then there's Wolverine, and there's First Class, Days of Future Past, Apocalypse, and Dark Phoenix. Yep. So I'm missing one, or they're off by one.
They're just forgettable. I mean, most of those are just forgettable. I mean, I would say one.
There's the 3 Bryan Singer films.
3 Bryan Singers, then Origins Wolverine and Wolverine. Oh, Logan.
And Logan.
Logan, yeah. Logan, yeah. So Logan was the one I was missing.
Okay, I don't know. I'd say 5 of them are good. 1, 2.
So of the first 3, 1 and 2. I honestly don't hate 3.
I don't hate 3
I honestly
either,
don't hate
3. It wasn't nearly as good as
similarly,
the first
2. So... Yeah, I mean, it's, like, tolerable. Like, is that kind of as good?
It's not like...
Like,
it's
Wolverine
not like Spider-Man.
Was tolerable, too, I thought.
It's not like...
X-Men Origins Wolverine, but just the Wolverine was tolerable.
It's not like Spider-Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man.
No.
It's not like that at all.
No.
First Class is great.
First Class is great.
First Class is great. Future Past is okay.
Good.
It's got its issues.
I would say it's good.
Time travel just always is hard.
It's
okay. I mean,
time travel is less the issue in that to me. It's just, like... Magneto's plan made like no goddamn sense in that one. Yeah, and then I didn't bother seeing Apocalypse or Phoenix.
I didn't see either of them.
I started Apocalypse.
And then Logan, of course, is fucking amazing.
Yes. Logan is fantastic, yes.
So maybe it is about
Did you say Mantastic?
I said fantastic.
Okay.
It is also Mantastic.
Yes, I mean, it is Mantastic.
Yeah.
Fantasing.
I will give parts of X-Men Origins Wolverine a go. A good part, because I mean, there's parts of that film that were actually really good. there are many, many parts that are really, really fucking bad.
The first 5 minutes, and then you leave the theater and turn off the DVD or change the channel, whichever is the appropriate thing.
Every interaction between Wolverine and Sabretooth was really good. I wish Leif Schreiber would be more Sabretooth.
And that's basically just the intro of the movie. Like, there's a little pretty smattering throughout, but you get a real potent. That whole montage of them in all the wars is phenomenal.
Fucking amazing. Yep.
That is. There are two movies that I despise where I think the opening credits are absolute masterpieces, and that's one of them. And the other one is Resident Evil 4 or 5.
Whichever Resident Evil it is, yeah. They all meld together for me. They're all schlock.
Yeah. But one of them has legit one of my favorite opening sequences of any film, like including like Academy Award winning.
Sure.
Like it's
sure.
one of the most brilliant artistic choices I've ever seen in a movie, and it happens to be in a shitty fucking trash movie. But there's that, and then there's when Deadpool is actually Deadpool, like Wade Wilson at the beginning there, and then the rest of the movie is just fucking hot garbage.
Yeah. No, I love your rant about the guy who's Deadshot or whatever it is, who can shoot amazingly well with his guns. And then the villain, the major villain, is like, "Well, it was like he didn't have a chance without these," and then showed a bunch of adamantium bullets. Like, "Well, why didn't you give those to him?"
Yup.
Yeah. Actually, follow up is that do the Deadpool movies count because they have multiple X-Men in them?
No, I'm not counting them as X-Men movies.
I will count them as X-Men films. Classes in them. In both of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the issue is, and the reason I don't count them is because my answer for why they can't do X-Men films well and why some of the ones that are good are the things like the Deadpools or the Wolverine or Logan is that they can't get the team dynamic right. They can't balance all the characters and they can't focus on them at a level that makes each character interesting because...
First Class did okay.
It really, really focused on a couple of them. And to be honest, like... Who gives a shit about half the characters, right? You really only care about like Magneto and Professor X, and then
that cool demon guy who would drop people from the
stage. Yeah, well, the villain. I mean, villains are always cool, but like, do you give a shit about Banshee? I mean, I like Havoc. Havoc was one of my favorites as a kid, but I really don't give a shit about Hula Hoopy Pretty Boy in that movie. I mean, he's fine. He's there, but I'm not invested in him as a character. They kind of just like gloss him over. Also, man alive, do they fuck up with Darwin? What a waste of a character.
I don't know who Darwin is.
Darwin is the black guy, so he dies first in that movie.
Okay.
Also, Darwin's superpower, his mutation, rather, because it's X-Men, is that he's literally unkillable. And so they kill him, which doesn't work. Because Darwin's power is that he always adapts so that he will survive.
Oh, so he's a Darwinism. He's basically Apocalypse then.
But the thing, so he has...
Or not Apocalypse, Doomsday.
Sure, sure. But Darwin's can be very much more mercurial. And the interesting thing about Darwin, and when he's written well, is the fact that he has no control over how he adapts. His mutation just goes, well, this'll work. So, like, two great examples is he gets poisoned. And so his mutation is like, well, you know, instead of just making him immune to poison or whatever, his thing's like, oh, well, this is like a neurotoxin. Sea sponges don't have brains. That'll work. So it just turns him into, like, a sea sponge dude. So for like a year of the X-Men comics, he's just like Groot, except a sea sponge instead of a tree, because that's what his mutation did. Or another time, he goes up against the Hulk, and he's like, I'm going to fight the fucking Hulk. So his mutation doesn't make him super strong. His mutation doesn't make him invincible to being punched. His mutation gives him teleportation and puts him on the other side of the fucking planet, because that's how you survive the Hulk. And that's interesting. But instead, a guy just puts a fireball in his mouth and he dies.
Hmm.
And the guy's like, adapt to this, and he should have. Like, he fucking should have. God damn it. Now you made me knock one off my list just because they fucked up Darwin. But anyway, yes, they can't handle the characters right. So when they focus on one or two, like they do in Logan, or even like X-Men First Class, when it's really just about X and Magneto, and to a lesser extent, Shapeshifty Girl, they can make it work. But when you try to have the whole thing, it's like there's a reason Marvel didn't just jump to Endgame. You can't jump to 20
characters. Yeah, I mean, that was also why Avengers was the best superhero team-up movie.
Because you had time with all those characters.
Yeah, because they had five movies to go for, go
but
ahead
the X-Men,
of
they're not going to be able to do just a Havoc movie and just a Nightcrawler movie. Like, it's just not a thing. And so they just shove 10 characters at us, and it never works.
Yeah. Mm.
But now that they're part of the Marvel thing, they can start drip-feeding us, you know?
Kevin Feige can just...
They can start drip-feeding, like they did, you know, where they just, well, here's, you know, well, there we go. We'll just throw in a Quicksilver. I mean, unfortunately... you know, they fucked up and wasted Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, right, because that wasn't Quicksilver because of, just a guy. But, yeah. Feh.
I mean, they could still technically retcon.
Scarlet Witch was fine.
Sure, but she's not technically Scarlet. Or she's...
She's a mutant.
She's not Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
She's
not.
And she's not a mutant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or wait, no, she is Scarlet Witch. No, that's what it is. That's right. They are Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, but they aren't mutants and Magneto isn't their dad.
Right.
Correct.
The guys in the X-Men movies, he's a mutant and Magneto is his dad, but his name isn't Quicksilver because the way the rights are, Disney had the rights to the names but nothing else, and Marvel had the rights to, or Fox had the rights to the words mutant and Magneto but not to Quicksilver. Fucking A.
Yeah.
But then that's why it's good that they're all under the same house now. Mm-hmm.
Zappity.
Grubble. I didn't have it up right away. All right.
Man, did I cry at the end of Logan.
Oh, God. Logan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was such a good movie.
So good. Your take on the classic nerd question, who wins in a Spider-Man versus Wolverine? I mean, I don't know if it's really a classic nerd question.
I've never heard it before.
I've never heard it before either.
But who wins blank versus blank is a classic question.
Yeah.
And he or she is going, but specifically the Spider-Man versus Wolverine.
So we've already seen what Wolverine does to Deadpool. And Deadpool is a quippy guy who has high regeneration.
How is Spider-Man going to finish off Wolverine? Yeah, I'm just trying to figure that out.
No, I mean, this is the two questions. One, how does Spider-Man have a chance of beating Wolverine? And two, how does Wolverine actually catch Spider-Man?
Right, so isn't it just, the second question answers the first question, right? Yeah. Spider-Man beats Wolverine by being 100 yards away from him and shooting a metric ton of webbing at him until some gets on a spot that he can't cut and he's done.
Runs. Yes.
Like, he has to fully cocoon him to the point where he can't cut himself out.
Spider-Man is one of the few Marvel characters who has stopped the unstoppable.
Yeah. I mean, Spider-Man is also, like, in top 10 physical strength in Marvel.
Squirrel Girl.
No, I mean, he stopped the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I mean...
We're talking about the Mountain versus the Viper here, right? You have the mobile, fast one, but if the other one ever touches them, they're dead.
I think as though they're both mobile fast, though, too.
Well, Wolverine is fast. Like, he can't functionally fly.
Correct.
Also, he's physically weaker than Spider-Man, but those claws will hurt.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, like, if Spider-Man could just get his hands on his wrists, it'll just be like, nah.
Yeah,
I'm going Spider-Man on this one.
I'd like to think, though, if Spider-Man fucks up in some way or another.
If he starts ranting about the rape and murder of his sister and then Logan gets one lucky hit in on him, his head's exploding.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to go with a draw that I don't think Spider-Man can beat Wolverine. I don't think Wolverine can catch Spider-Man.
Why don't you think Spider-Man can beat Wolverine? He's stronger.
Yeah. So which version of Wolverine's healing factor are we talking about? Because
I think we're just talking about Wolverine.
He can't kill Wolverine, but he can surely cocoon him, right?
I don't know.
Even if he like sticks the claws out, if he can't move the wrists or his arm, he's going to cut six little holes in his cocoon, and that's going to be it, right?
Maybe. How much?
Those six little holes can't be covered up again.
I mean, which version of Spider-Man's webbing fluid are we using? Because does he have enough to fully cocoon?
You see him do it to criminals all the time.
Spider-Man always has the most dramatic quantity of web fluing possible. So,
we'd say this fight he runs out.
Okay, because it has to be dramatic.
He runs out. He cocoons Wolverine up. Wolverine, he doesn't get all of Wolverine. Wolverine just takes one arm and just...
Is Spider-Man aware of Wolverine's healing factor in this version of the fight? Because if so, he punches Wolverine so hard that his brain liquidizes across the inside of his skull, and then a month later when he grows a new brain, he's already in prison. Like, Spider-Man's really fucking strong.
The thing is, though, Spider-Man is strong, though, but he isn't indestructible himself.
Correct.
So punching Wolverine like that would do some damage to him.
Yeah, although he technically has a healing factor as well.
To a lesser extent. I mean, it definitely
he'd break his hand.
It would take him like weeks or a couple days to heal. Rather, like Wolverine would just be like, bleep. Probably not with his brain mushed.
Yeah. So. Or they just make friends.
They start a paper route together.
Yeah.
Spider-Man handles the north side. Wolverine handles the south side.
Spider-Man brings the pizza. Wolverine brings the beer, and they just chill.
Spider-Man brings the peanut butter. Wolverine brings the chocolate.
Yep.
Okay.
Zappity.
Grumble. That's it.
Recommendations. I'll do one now and another one at the end of the Star Wars mini episode.
All right.
My one now is the one that Andy reminded me of. Do you like the last 10 minutes of Speed Racer?
I do.
You should watch Redline. It is an animated racing film that's basically Speed Racer's last race, but for the whole fucking movie. It is amazing. It is beautiful. It is heart-pumping, exciting. The character design, it's just goddamn gorgeous.
There's something about... I'll probably watch what you're recommending here, but there's something about Speed Racer and that final race is just... I mean, it's basically all it is just a plot summary of everything that you see in the film, though. But it's done so well, and just integrates perfectly into the film.
The spectacular, like you think you dropped shrooms, just colorful graphics, the feel of the acceleration of these cars, just all of that. If you like those aspects of those race scenes in Speed Racer, Redline is a movie you will love.
Do not get confused and get the Thin Red Line, because that movie is shit.
Also, do not get Red Belt, because that movie is also shit.
Fucking Thin Red Line.
Okay. I'm going to suggest for all the PC gamers out there to take advantage of Microsoft's current offer for 3 months of the Xbox Game Pass PC for $1. Which is a fantastic deal.
The Outer Worlds for a dollar, you say?
The Outer World for 3 months for a dollar. And yes, I was going to list some of the games, because the list of 160 games that are for free on Xbox Game Pass for PC are kind of like a crippled system greatest hits, because Bloodstained is on there,
nice.
Outer Worlds is on there, Dead Cells is on there, Slay the Spire is on there, Into the Breach is on there. And I'm certain
I'm almost there.
there are a couple on there I'm forgetting, I believe. But I mean, they also have some of the Halo Master Chief Collection, which is on PC for the first time. And the
does Gears that have 5. Reach?
Yeah.
Yes.
Reach. Yes.
Reach is currently the only one available for it.
Ah, that's fine. That's the only one you need.
But it has Reach.
It's not the best Halo game, but it's the best ending to any game ever.
Yeah.
But yes, Halo Reach is on there right now. Gears 5 is on there. The Witcher, actually, The Witcher looks like it's only on console. Witcher 3, but
still, you probably already have it now. A dollar for a fuckload of things.
Yeah, a dollar.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, but even, I mean, it's a dollar for Bloodstained, for Outer Worlds, Bloodstained, Slay the Spire, and Dead Cells. Before going into anything else, just get it and play those games.
I think the Game Pass is even normally really cheap in general.
It's like $15 a month normally.
Yeah.
And depending on where you get the link from, it's either $5 a month for an intro or $1 for 3 months.
Yeah.
But if you play on PC or if you actually have an Xbox, but I'm not sure I know anybody that has an Xbox.
Okay, but I mean,
yeah, just $1 for a fantastic stable of games.
$15 a month for 160 games and infinite access to them is good, but for just a couple dollars more, I can get some loot boxes in my Animal Crossing game.
Also, you could pay $120 to get the Founders Edition of Stadia and then pay them $10 a month. And on top of that, you can get games such as, Outer Worlds for $60. Then you can get other games that for their regular retail price, or sometimes even more than you would pay in other places.
For $100 a year, I could have all of my scrap disappear in Fallout 76.
No, they fucked up even more in this last 2 weeks.
When you fire your gun, your armor breaks.
Yeah.
Wow. I am so glad I stayed away from that game.
Your armor degrades. You can fix it by unequipping your armor and reequipping it, which is really quick and easy to do in the middle of combat.
I'm sure. Yeah. That makes sense. Because, I mean, that's what you would do. I mean, let's be real.
Did you hear about the hacks?
People just bring in the Pridwin in from Fallout 4 and just plunking into Fallout 76. Because since it's built on Fallout 4, instead of deleting any of those assets, they just didn't put them in the game, but they're still in the code. So hackers are just like, fuck it. Here's Preston Garvey.
Just wander around.
Hey, you know, I got this mission for you. I heard about another settlement.
Also, yeah. Hollow Knight.
Yeah. I mean, that game's trash, but, you know.
All because of a map feature. Yeah. Are we going to other people?
Did you have a recommendation?
Did I have a
recommendation? I didn't have a recommendation. I have a recommendation, but you guys have probably already talked about this. I'm going to recommend The Witcher. On Netflix. I'm sure you already talk about it.
After Star Wars, sorry, you son of a bitch.
I stole it now. So, funny question about that. So, I started watching it this morning because I figured, well, I need to have some recommendation and I need to actually watch at least an episode of The Witcher to realize it's good. It's good. I just watched one episode. So, I started watching it. And, of course, if you know anything about The Witcher, there's two things that The Witcher does. And it's he kills monsters and he has sex with women. And that is what I know about The Witcher. I've only played Witcher 3. I haven't played the other ones, although now I'm going to have to go back and watch them. But so I'm watching downstairs. It's like 7:30 this morning. And my wife comes down, and it's early on in the scene. There is a scene where there's a bunch of naked women tending a garden. Not to spoil anything, but my wife walks down, sees me watching this, and then I'm like, hey, honey, I'm watching The Witcher. And she's like, she's just giving me the evil eye. But then she sat down and watched the rest of it with me, so it was fine.
And episode one, like, it only gets better. Like, sure. To me, episode three is where it kind of clicks. Like, a bunch of stuff, like, falls into place by the end of episode three, and that's when I'm like, oh, but okay, this whole season.
Henry Cavill?
Yeah,
he's killing it. I mean,
my only possible complaint at first was, like, to me it seemed like he was trying to sound like the voice actor from the game
sure.
a little too much. But then I was like, no, maybe he just also is doing a similar. It's like two different people are going to do a Batman voice. They're both going to sound like a guy making a grumpy voice. And
I'm okay with it because, I don't know, it's just his mannerisms.
Also, when he's talking to Roach, he's less like that. So it actually works that it's like an act.
Yep. Yep. No, I only watched one episode, but it's amazing, so.
He's also legitimately a fan of the books, too.
So. Yeah, and so that's cool, is that, like, he approached them and he said, I love the Witcher books. Please, I want to be in the show. It was like Ryan Reynolds with Deadpool. Like, it wasn't that they did a casting and got someone who happened to be a fan or whatever. He's like, we need to make this show happen because I want to play Geralt.
Mm-hmm. I wish there was a lot more of that service in Hollywood, where they would have more people that would have a true
passionate,
love,
yeah.
true love for the characters, and then
do that. I mean, you do have to be careful about that though, because, like, no matter how much I'm a huge fan of, like, let's say Wolverine, right? That doesn't mean that I'm the right person to play Wolverine.
No, right? Correct.
There is a balance to that, but if you can get someone who's right for the role and they legitimately have that passion, I mean, it's
amazing.
Lightning in a bottle.
Yep. Or you have somebody who has that passion that would be a writer. You could easily. I would want you to be the person that creates this thing, and that's why the Marvel movies work so well. Is that Kevin Feige is such a fucking nerd for Marvel products?
Yeah, I could talk about the Witcher series for an hour and a half.
Sure.
And I've only done the first four episodes, but yeah, it's so good.
Did I recommend The Watchmen last week?
Maybe. I heard it ends badly.
I don't know.
I've heard some people didn't like the ending of the series.
Don't tell me.
I don't know. I haven't watched any of it.
All right. So Watchmen, great. You should watch it. It just ended last week. But right now, season four of The Expanse is on Amazon Prime. You should get your Amazon Prime. Give Jeff Bezos your money because that series
a month for free or some shit.
Yeah, that series is so fucking good. If you like good sci-fi, and we're talking like Babylon 5, Star Trek, you know, stuff that actually has a really decent premise behind it, that's not schlock. Like when it started off on Sci-Fi Channel. Most of the time when we were watching, it was like, this is on Sci-Fi Channel? this does not belong on the same fucking channel as
Sharknado.
Yeah. I mean, it is a...
No, Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
It has, like it has a... it has a large resource for all the books that are out for the series.
Board game's good too.
I've heard that it's just a really good. All the characters are fleshed out. You feel for those characters. It's awesome. I love The Expanse, and you should watch it.
Oh man. Like the first scene of The Witcher, he goes into this town and this little girl's like, "Welcome to my town. It's Blaviken." And I'm like, "I know Geralt's nicknames."
I know. That was the thing. I did I not know.
I'm like, "I know Geralt's nicknames."
Yeah.
What's his
one
name?
One of his nicknames is the Butcher of Blaviken.
And now I know why.
Yeah. But like that first episode is like, "Welcome to the peaceful town of Blaviken." I'm like,
something bad is going to happen.
It was that monkey puppet meme where he like looks inside and looks forward. That was me.
Yeah.
All right. It's kind of like all the fuckers that were sitting in the room with me going, it was like, "Oh, they're going to have a wedding. Oh, this is going to be great."
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing could possibly go wrong. Oh, no.
Oh, that's
they're nasty there, hey.
Listen.
Someone should redub the entire Game of Thrones in Wisconsin.
Like, yeah.
With the northern.
Some Youper accents there. Yatter, hey. Oh, that was a rough one there. Oh.
They'll get you there. He's wearing their scale mail there. Yeah.
He just ripped that guy's throat out right there. Yep, he did.
Oh, you betcha.
Just stuck that sword right up his.
Yeah. The first person gets stabbed and go, "Oop!"
Oop! Yep, exactly.
Have we figured out what "oop" is? Is it basically "oops" or have we?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an "oops" or a "pardon me." I mean,
that's kind of what I think of as more of a "pardon me" type thing. I'm like, "oops." I find I've noticed myself saying something like that as. Yeah, I don't. Like I'm in somebody's way going into a door or something like that. Oh.
David's still here.
Yeah, David's here. No.
Yep.
All right, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and...
I mean that in the nicest way.
I'm going to go ahead and cut over to the start menu, and then we'll wait for David to leave. And we'll
the start menu?
The start. I'm going to show Yoda.
Oh, CPT. Okay. That's not Yoda. That's child. He's a baby child. Tonberry.
Yes.
Yes, we're show that,
and then we're going to cut.
I love Tonberries.
Yeah, I do too.
I also love them guys.
In Final Fantasy XI, how every time you killed one, every other one of them got stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a limit to how many you could kill, because at some point they were just one-shot you regardless.
Yeah. Well, because then King Tonberry had that vengeance ability. Yeah. I assumed you'd already done that.
No, I didn't.
We were just going to keep talking.
He didn't. And I was like, I'm just...